Stand by for the Terry Saul Show. 5. Roll tape. 4. Cue Terry. 3. Bring audio up. 2. Stand by. 1. Play intro.
Stay tuned for the Terry Saul Show on Salem's original radio station, 104.3 FM and 1220 AM, KSLM. Today's show is being brought to you by the Lule Group, featuring Lule's Car Connection, Don Lule Homes, and Teresa Lule's State Farm Insurance.
Well, good morning and welcome to the Terry Saul Show on Salem's original radio station, KSLM AM and FM. I am your host. I'm so glad that you joined us this morning. Today's Terry Saul Show is being brought to you by the Lule Group, Lule's Car Connection, Don Lule Homes, and Teresa Lule, State Farm Insurance. And once again, I've said this before, sometimes the people out front leave the door unlocked and in comes Baron. How you doing, man?
I'm good. Yeah. You know, I thought they left it unlocked to keep the homeless out, but you let me in.
Well, you know, it's that pink shirt that you're always wearing.
Well, it does blind people.
It certainly does. I saw one the other day that was a blue shirt now, and you have all different colors now, don't you?
We do. And you know, pink is a very recognizable color. It's our signature color because Brenda has breast cancer, but cancer has many colors. So,
would you drive in a pink car? Would you ride in one?
Only if I was a Mary Kay rep.
Patty and I were driving down Lancaster the other day, and there's somebody in a pink car there, and I says, you know what? If I ever get in a pink car, just go ahead and stick an ice pick right between my eyes. I won't get in a pink car, but I'll wear a pink shirt. Bring me one. Hey, we have a special guest in here today.
We do. Very good friend of mine.
Bring in with you?
Well, Amy Ryan Corser is running for House seat number 5, and she and I became friends several months ago because we have a very common message here when it comes to getting pharmaceuticals under control. So I'm thrilled that she was able to join me today.
Hi, Amy. How are you?
I'm excellent. Thank you both of you for having me.
Please don't take this wrong, but I've seen you on the back of a truck many times. Your face is kind of all over the place in these cars, aren't they?
That's the goal.
Yeah?
Yeah, that's the goal in this beautiful pandemic we live in. We've got to do everything we can to get the message out.
Tell me about, you're running for District 5?
That's right.
Okay, tell me about that.
I'm running for District 5 against Representative Kurt Schrader for Congress. Kurt Schrader for Congress.
Oh, that's the guy that doesn't live here, right?
That's right.
Okay, got it. Yeah,
that's right. Okay. So our district's quite large. We have over 6,000 square miles. It's about the size of Connecticut.
Really?
That's why you see the truck graph the way it is, because we really are all over the district. We're a true grassroots campaign. You know, you've heard that term for years, but we're showing you what the true meaning of grassroots is, and that's by getting out into the district. So.
Yeah. And how long has Kurt Schrader been in office?
Six terms, but he started as a state legislative.
Six terms?
Mm-hmm. But our terms are only 2 years for Congress.
That's still 12 years.
Yeah, that's right. It's 12 years too long as far as I'm concerned.
Now, you said that I didn't.
Yes, I did. I have a lot to say. Go ahead.
Lay it on me. So how is it that he could maintain that office if he doesn't even live here in Oregon? How's that work?
Well, he does have a farm that his boys run, and so he has an address. We need an address, as your Congress representatives have a local address. And sometimes it's a post office box. In his case, it's a farm that his boys run, and he has a house both in D.C. and in New York with his wife.
Well, that's convenient, isn't it?
Well, he gets around.
Apparently. Wow. All right. And the election's coming up in just...
Yes, sir. 63 days.
Yeah.
Yep.
How busy are you? I know that when we were talking, you're on your phone going constantly. How busy have you been?
It's an exciting time. And with Labor Day coming up this weekend, it's really going to turn into full run. We thought we were running, you know, in the last year, but now, especially because it's a presidential election year and people are fired up and we have a lot of great races in Oregon that we need to win. So you'll see that we really have a lot of energy and it's a full run for sure. Yeah.
Do you think you have a chance?
Absolutely. I have a great chance.
Why is that? Why do you say that?
Well, how long is your show? No.
3 weeks. Go
okay,
ahead.
I love it. You know, honestly, when I started this race, it was for the right reasons. It was humanitarian reasons. It was, you know, our pharmaceuticals, number one, as we all have lived and learned, and our homelessness and our infrastructure with our bridges and things. There's so many things to fight for in Oregon, and our agriculture and forestry has not been represented well, not as a state and not federally. And so those are all inspiring things. But I'll tell you what, you fast forward to a year and where we sit today, we've never needed stronger leadership more than we do right now. And unfortunately, our current leadership is, you know, I kind of think they're all hiding in a basement right now. They're not taking a stance. They're not making things happen. They're not ensuring our safety as public. So there's a whole new set of rules. And those people that were willing to throw in their hat in the ring a year ago, you know, we all have new issues to tackle. And we are really fighting for our state. We're fighting that slippery slope of socialism, and there's a lot to fight for. So I believe that, to answer your question, because I apologize, really go on an off ramp there. But the reality is we've had the same leadership that has done nothing, that is not accomplishing anything, that is not present, that's not fighting for our state, and not protecting our citizens. So the reality is it's time for new leadership, and it's time for people who are passionate about making a difference. And I'm a hometown girl. I live right here. I'm fighting for our state and our beautiful 5th District. And no one has ever fought more passionately than I am willing to fight right now.
What is the one, if you only could have one accomplishment, what would you want it to be? If there's only one thing out there that you could fix or make happen, what would it be?
Oh my gosh. There's so many equally important things. It's really hard to pick a topic. I mean, today here we are for pharmaceuticals, and that was one of my inspirations for running. So it would be easy to say we've got to get our pharmaceuticals under control. But with that comes bringing our manufacturing jobs and taking control back from China. I think we have federal issues that we're not paying attention to, because right now there's so many things on the table. Right now, of course, so I would have to say up there with pharmaceuticals is our public safety. We have to have law and order, and we have to have people and representatives who will fight for doing what's right and protecting our citizens so that we can have economic recovery.
What is your opinion of that crap that's going on in Portland?
It's crap.
Every single night.
Absolutely. And
Four months now?
Yeah, I think we're on like 94 days. You know, we shouldn't have gotten past a week. We should have, you know, I'm all about our Constitution and our First Amendment and having free speech and the right to assemble and say what's important to you. I totally respect and honor that process, but we passed that a long time ago. So let's remove that and take care of the criminals, and let's prosecute the criminals so that we can have a safe community and people have the right to assemble safely and speak their mind.
I had a show last weekend up in St. Helens, and I had to go through Portland, which is the first time I've been in Portland in a long time.
Right.
I drove through Portland, and I remember saying to my wife, I says, I've been down to Los Angeles hundreds of times, and the graffiti down there is just horrible.
Sure.
Last week, when we went through Portland, it was just as bad.
That's right.
This is horrible. Right. This is horrible. Portland was such a beautiful city, the Rose City.
Right. And Portland is a beautiful city, and the problem is people are looking at our nation. We're on nightly news every night, and it's disgusting, and no one is standing up for what's right. And I'll tell you what, Portland doesn't represent Oregon. That is one city, and it's failed leadership, and we need to go in and take control of our state and our cities, and we have to hold people accountable. We have not done a good job at that, and you need leadership like myself. We have 5 congressional candidates right now who are like-minded to me, who are fighting for their districts and to do what's right. There's 3 of us up in Portland. There's District 1, there's CD3 and myself, and we all combine and meet in the middle there, where we're all united in the lawlessness and creating accountability.
You know, a scary stat for you, Terry. I just saw this morning. The last time we had a Republican mayor in Portland was 1952.
Get out of here. Seriously? 52?
That was the last.
You were born then, but I wasn't. Really? Are you serious?
Yeah.
1952?
That's the last time there was a Republican mayor in Portland.
Wow. Is there any chance that this knucklehead that's up there right now is going to resign or get out of it?
Nope.
They called for his resignation, and he kind of goffed at him. And I just recently learned Wheeler County, that's his family. Ted Wheeler, his family started Wheeler County. So, deep-seated money in the state of Oregon.
Unbelievable. Yeah. Wasn't it Martin Luther King who said that you're a protester until you pick up a rock and throw it through a window, and you're no longer a protester, now you're a criminal?
Well, they passed that a long time ago.
Yeah.
They passed that a long time ago.
Well, look at the weekend that we're coming off of, gentlemen. I'm appalled. I'm frustrated like everyone else. And people are pushing back as we're seeing. People are pushing back, and we have the right to assemble and to say our piece. And people, it's getting ugly. And it scares me for our state, because we're better than this.
And you can assemble. You can say your piece, but that doesn't give you the right to break a window and steal a big screen TV from Target.
Well, and let's look at the businesses who have closed and who are suffering. I mean, economic recovery isn't just from our pandemic. It is now from Antifa and our riots and the businesses who have suffered, who don't have, people think they have insurance. Insurance doesn't cover that loss. So how do we regain and support our local businesses if we don't have if we have so much lawlessness? We have to create law.
So there's many, many businesses that are gone forever.
That's right. They've closed their doors. They've lost all their inventory, and they've just walked away. And I'm fighting for those businesses. Those are the people, the voices that we need to be representing, and no one's representing them. We have complete failed leadership from the top down.
Well, we're going to get back into this a little bit later on in the show, but today let's talk a little bit about, tell me about Rebecca Smith. Who is Rebecca Smith, and what's the story on Rebecca Smith in our five minutes that we have left on the segment?
For your listeners that have heard me before, Kicking Cancer, every single quarter we find a local person we can rally around. Rebecca actually lives in Lebanon. I met her about a year ago. She, multitude of medical issues. She has muscular dystrophy and multiple sclerosis and disc degeneration. She's already battled through cervical cancer, and she has what's called high white cell disease. So your white cells should be about 10,000. Hers were running about 18,000, which means that she could get leukemia. She doesn't have it, but she's right at the edge of getting blood cancer. So I approached and said, you know, can we as an organization rally around you and support what you're going through? And she said yes. Her husband's a professional photographer, so we got together and got a really neat picture. And 2 weeks after that picture, he had a massive heart attack and died. Turns out he had colon cancer and didn't know it. So it's not uncommon when you're dealing with cancer that blood clots will form, and he got a blood clot, went to his heart. It was such a huge heart attack, it shut his brain down. So then I said, oh my gosh.
He died right away, didn't he?
12 hours.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I said, on top of the fact that you had all these issues, the breadwinner's gone. So we put together a benefit at the Honky Tonks here in Salem. He was a drummer in a band as well, and so a lot of the bands that knew him came together. We had 9 bands. Epic Fitness brought some of their staff, did a car wash. We had an auction, and just a fun thing for your listeners, the guy that was doing the auction was an ex-big-time wrestler in Portland, and he was nervous, and I said, if it slows down, I have an idea. So the bidding wasn't going the way we wanted, so I said, just do a big-time wrestling move on me. So,
like your head into the turnbuckle or something?
Close. We were out back where the bands play and they're seating, and we were joking around, a little trash talk, and he said, dude, if you don't get off my stage, I'm going to body slam you. And someone said, I got $20, went to $40, $100. Bottom line is, he picked me over his head. I weighed 240. He picked me over his head and body slammed me on the concrete.
On the concrete?
On the concrete. It was hard. We got video to prove it. But we got $140 out of it when the day was all done.
Darren, was it worth $140 to get slammed on the concrete?
I told them that she's been dealing with that disease for 30 years, and it was 30 seconds for me. Yeah, it hurt, but it was worth it for her.
My back hurts right now just thinking about it. Wow.
But we raised a little over $11,000.
No kidding.
And was able to give her a very nice check, paid off her house. She doesn't have a mortgage to worry about. And at the heart of Kicking Cancer, people tell me, like, what are we donating money to? That's what you're donating money to. The heart of Kicking Cancer is to step into our community and help people right here that are dealing with this horrible disease.
How did you find her?
I had met her at some networking group that I went to.
Yeah.
And she was up there. She had a little booth, and we just got to visiting, and she kind of told me a little story, and took a little while, and I said, you know, this, when you agree to this, you allow me to tell your story on the radio and our website. But she said, I'm ready to share. So So we shared it and was able to raise some money for her. Now her white cells are down to 11,000.
Really?
And the only thing that changed is we had this benefit. And so I told her, I said, there is some proof to this. Her cells responded to that degree of social support. There were like 100 people there at that benefit night. And 2 weeks later, she goes to the doctor. It goes from 15 to 11,000. And she's
awesome.
Healing.
That's awesome. How old of a lady is she?
43.
Been through a lot in 43 years, hasn't she?
Yeah, she has. 30 years of dealing with this.
In our final 1 minute we have left on this segment, how's Brenda doing?
Brenda's doing great. In fact, every time I come in to see you, I always call her for some tips, and then we always pray together before I get here. And she said, tell Terry hi for me.
Yeah. When's she coming back up here?
Well, we'll see how COVID does, but she was supposed to be here this month.
Yeah.
So I don't know for sure yet.
Yeah. And she's doing okay, though?
Yeah.
And she likes that nice, cool weather down there that she's having right
Yeah,
now?
120 degrees, Terry. I don't know how she does it. I don't know.
I don't know why she does it. You know? I mean, I can understand not wanting to be around you that much.
Well,
but
that's true.
Geez, 120 degrees.
But she is excited to come meet you face to face.
Well, good. We're looking forward to that. Hey, we need to take a short break. When we come back, more with today's special guest. You're listening to the Terry Saul Show on 104.3 FM and 1220 AM. Today's show is being brought to you by the Lule Group, Lule's Car Connection, Don Lule Homes, and Teresa Lule, State Farm Insurance. Don't go anywhere. We're just getting warmed up. Our guest today is my buddy Baron and Amy Brian Corson. Did I say it right? Because I saw the look that you gave me earlier. Make sure you get it right. We'll be back in just a minute.
You're listening to The Terry Saul Show on KSLM AM and FM. Brought to you today by the Lule Group.
We're back in 5, 4, Q Terry, 2, 1, you're on.
We are back. This is the Terry Saul Weekend Show. Today, our special guest is Amy Ryan Corser and my friend Baron Robison. Do I look like I'm upset right now, Baron? Take a look at me. Do I look upset to you?
Not yet.
Well, I am. I'm upset.
Okay.
Before I came in today, I had to stop and get my prescription filled, one of my prescriptions filled.
Okay.
Oh, here we go.
Oh, yeah, here we go. Here we go, my
You're
eye.
Pissing me
go.
Off early, right?
Oh, man, I'm getting pissed off right off the bat here. Thank goodness my wife has great insurance, but one prescription alone, if we did not have the insurance, it was $1,400. For 30 days.
Yeah.
Okay. I didn't want gold-plated pills.
Right.
But that's what it was like. $1,400. Yeah. Baron, this is getting crazy. And I told Patty, I says, you know, you can't afford to retire. And she says, why? I go, because we can't afford it. You have to continue working for the insurance because we're paying right now, and I've told you this before, over $4,000 a month on medical prescriptions if we didn't have insurance.
Right.
That's what we'd be paying.
Right. And, yeah, and it's unfortunate when you go to, say, Walmart, for example, and people who should be retired and enjoying their retirement years, and the only reason they're working is for insurance.
Yeah, yeah. Patty told me, she works for Safeway, and she told me, she says, when I am ready to retire, I'll still work 20 hours a week just to maintain the insurance.
Yeah, yeah.
And Amy, doesn't that piss you off, these rates that these pharmaceutical companies are charging people?
Well, it's just absolute corruption. And so, you know, what really, I think, angers people, especially is when it's personal, right? So, I mean, I have lost my favorite person to cancer, and, you know, and I saw a bill for $70,000 for one pill. And I'm sorry, but that is...
Oh, come on.
$70,000. And recently I saw a bill for $17,000 for one pill or one infusion. And I'll be honest, it's beyond corruption. It's just deep, deep, deep. It's just horrible.
How do they get away with charging $70,000? You know damn well it didn't cost them $70,000
bill. And I've actually had pharmaceutical, I showed Baron the messages. I've had some pharmaceutical research and developers reach out to me and show me the actual cost, which is pennies on the pill versus what these companies are paying. Now, the good news is, I think there is the light at the end of the tunnel. Obviously, we're fighting the good fight. We're fighting to lower the pharmaceuticals. But I can tell you that President Trump last week signed 4 major measures to reduce prescription medicine by 50%. And that's unprecedented in a president. He didn't wait for Congress to do it because he knows those pockets are aligned and they're beholden, especially my opponent, Kurt Schrader. So he falls right into that. But it's unprecedented and it's going to really make a difference in our senior citizens who are on a fixed income.
$70,000 for one pill?
Yep.
One of those executive orders, and it's really a critical piece of legislation, or not legislation, it's an executive order, but we have a great relationship with Canada, and Canada has a lot lower prices than we do on some of the prescriptions, but the FDA controls what comes across the border.
That's right.
President Trump says, we don't need to control it with Canada. We have a good relationship with Canada, and so if they have a drug that costs $100 and you're charging $1,000, stop, stop. Right. Charge $100 to the United States. Right. And that was one of the executive orders.
So, Amy, are we allowed to do that? Can we go to Canada and get medication and come back?
Sure, you go to Mexico and do it too. It's, you know, there's nothing stopping you. I have a lot of friends who go to Mexico to get their pill. They take a little vacation and get all their pharmaceuticals, and it's equally relevant.
How often are you having to make that trip then? If you have, like in my case, I have medications that I have to get filled every month. Can I go to Canada or Mexico and just say, hey, give me a year's worth?
You can.
And they'll do that?
You can.
But the reality, Terry, is that you can, but you can't because you live here in Salem. You can't really go to Canada that often.
They do monitor your visitation, so you have to stock up in a quarter or whatever.
Who's monitoring?
Whenever there. Well, I mean, it's Homeland Security's monitors, of course, how often you travel. I lived in Asia for several years, and I had to travel back and forth to remain a citizen of the United States quarterly.
So is it illegal to do that? If I want to drive up to Canada,
no.
Can I tell them I'm going up there to get medication and I'll be back tomorrow?
You know, I don't know what you tell them or what my friends are telling them, but I mean, they're just traveling and purchase. You can do walk into their drug stores and purchase the medicine. It's readily available, and which is one of the problems, and it's a deep-seated financial problem in the United States. It's one of the things that's broken with our pharmaceuticals because our pharmaceuticals or companies are making money, and unfortunately our politicians, not all of them, but several of them, are in their pockets and beholden to that money. I'll give you an example. Kurt Schrader, that I'm running against for the 5th District, who's been there quite a while. while, he's an heir to the Pfizer family. Believe me, you know, there's a lot of loopholes. You can say, oh, I'm fighting for lower prescription costs, but you can put a measure out on or an amendment. The reality is we cannot access those medicines that are the less expensive version. We just can't. We don't have access to them. When we know what we can't get them from China, so we continue to charge and overcharge. It's horrid.
So, Terry, Amy mentioned that Kurt Schrader's the part of the Pfizer trust fund. There was a survey done of top companies, and it was the profit margins they made between 2016 and 18 during that two-year period of time. The S&P 500 average was 17.9% profit margin.
Okay.
Okay. Pfizer specifically made 26.9% profit margin. So they made more than the average. The number one is a company called Gilead Sciences. They do a lot of research type stuff. 49.7%.
What?
Profit margin. Almost 50% profit margin.
Well, and those numbers sound low, but remember they're in the billions.
Yeah,
that's what people need to know. We're talking billions and billions of dollars in the one in a 49% or a 17%. We're not just talking 17% of a few dollars. It's billions of dollars.
The number two, that was number one. Number two was Facebook, which made 46% profit margin. But the number one was this company that does research, 49, almost 3%. Another one people might know, Bristol-Myers Squibb, they made 20.9% profit margin.
Right.
So they're making a higher profit margin than 500 companies' averages.
And remember, it's the generics that we don't have access to. That's what's going to help our seniors and our fixed income and everyone who needs these medicines to live and not resign to end their life because they don't have access to the generic. It's heart-wrenching.
The other number to throw out to you, Terry, while you're there, during this same time period that I was just mentioning, the inflation rate in the United States was 1.6%, but the price increase, so the inflation on the drugs, was 16.1% price increase.
That's right.
That's crazy.
So people don't realize how deep it is.
If you look at all the products that you buy, gas, eggs, everything, 1.6% inflation, drugs alone, 16%. When Amy says corruption, this is out of control corruption.
Yeah, which is why it's so hard to get good people elected because the money is behind the people that they align themselves with, like my opponent, who they want those people in Congress to pass those drug prices. We need people like myself and people who are fighting the good fight, and there's several of us, five of us here in Oregon, that are willing to stand up to the pharmaceutical and the drug prices. And I'll tell you, I made the statement, I will not take PAC money from drugs, and that's from the drugs or pharmaceuticals, and that's really important to me. I will never take PAC money, and my opponent has taken millions of dollars.
We need to take a short break. When we come back, more with today's special guest. Today's show is being brought to you by the Lule Group, Lule's Car Connection. I saw that high five you guys just gave each other. Don Lule Holmes and Teresa Lule, State Farm Insurance. We'll be back in just a moment. Stick around.
We're back in 5, 4, Q-Terry, 2, 1, you're on. You're listening to The Terry Saul Show on KSLM AM and FM, brought to you today by the Lule Group.
We are back. This is The Terry Saul Weekend Show on Salem's original radio station, KSLM AM and FM. I am your host. Today, our special guest is Amy Ryan Courser. I almost messed it up that time. Courser. And my buddy Baron. And we're just kind of talking about whatever's coming to our mind right now. But on our last segment, we're talking about some of these outrageous prices for medication. And, you know, you got to wonder, Amy and Baron, is that when these senior citizens, and we're getting close to that age pretty soon.
Soon.
You're getting closer than I am.
Yeah.
But
I qualify to live at Meadowlawn now.
Do you really?
55 and older.
I the other day was at having dinner, and they said, did you want the senior discount? And I says, I'm not a senior yet. And my wife looks at me, and she says, you're 65. I go, shut up. You don't need to tell these people this. handle.
Well, when they asked me, I figured if I look old enough, then I'll take the discount.
What can we do to get some of these prices down? Amy, what do you think we can do?
Well, we have to provide accountability. We have to have a firm hand of what we will tolerate and will not tolerate. And that will take a Congress who is fighting for the right reasons. We have a majority in Senate, but not in the House of Representatives. And I think we need to start there. We need to turn those seats so that we have the right people fighting for the right things, which to me is accountability and being unafraid to go against the pharmaceuticals, which we haven't had, unfortunately. So, and I also think that it goes much deeper than that. It's easy to say that. It's much harder to take those actions. So it's going to be things like bringing our jobs back and our manufacturing of our drugs from China, from other countries. We do have countries that we're aligned with who are wanting what's best for people, humanity. So we need to give them the business. We need to work together to create solutions that are fair for everyone so that everyone wins. It's a bottom line business for sure. But the reality is the first thing we have to do is bring it back from China because they are controlling and mandating the prices.
And here's a couple countries you can reference here, Terry. Again, I'm taking this out of a AARP magazine, May of 2019. So if anyone has to go back and look at this, but the U.S. it has one of the highest prescription drug prices because we're the only industrialized nation whose government does not bargain with drug manufacturers.
Why?
I don't know. I mean, there was a law in 2003 called the Medicare Part D Outpatient Drug Coverage, which was supposed to fix all these problems, but we haven't. In contrast, and this is to Amy's point, Australia, Japan, and most of the European nations have forms of a national health program with drug review boards. Australia, Japan, France, England, they have a national drug board that sits and goes, here's the price, here's what everybody else in the world's doing. But we don't do that.
Why can't we do that?
We could if someone like Amy was in Congress making some of those things happen. But the ones that are there now, I mean, if her opponent, Kurt Schrader, is part of the Pfizer Trust family, why would he do that? It hurts his pocketbook.
You have to follow the rabbit hole, and it always leads to the money. And then, fortunately, that's...
Isn't that sad, though?
It's exactly what's broken with our system. It's why we have to represent strong officials that will be a leader and show leadership for our country, and because we have to protect everyone. And we haven't done that, and we've not done a good job of that. But we do have leadership now, as we have seen in these new measures and these new emergency clauses, that is an option. And I think we're starting to turn down a different road. But again, you follow the rabbit hole and it leads to the money. And that's what's disgustingly broken about our system.
How much does that piss you off?
Oh, it fires me up pretty good.
It's, okay, you know,
It fires me up. I'm all on board with piss me off too. Actually, our joke at our house is here, hold my beer. I mean, here we go, you know. And the reality is that we haven't had anybody to take on that initiative in that fight who, you know, I have nothing to lose. If I lose my election, you know, bless everybody. I hope that, you know, we have good leadership in the future. But, you know, we have to elect and vote, show up and vote the people in who are willing to do the right thing. And that's people like myself. But the reality is you talk about it pissing you off. You talk about it angering you. That's what inspires me. And I'm not afraid to say what I believe and to fight the good fight because we don't have that accountability. And so it does make me mad. But what makes me more mad is that when you see it touch the heart of your closest friends who say, I don't think I can live much longer because I can't afford this medicine. So I'm just going to go ahead and have quality of life instead of fight for life. And that pisses me off. There you go. There I use the word.
There you go. Good girl.
there you go.
Now we get it out of you.
Well, and Terry, Amy mentions, you know, the cost of drugs. I've mentioned this to you before, and I wanted to make sure I bring this article to you. It's actually from the Statesman Journal, but it references a guy named Terry Langbaum, who is debating filling a prescription that's going to cost him $13,000 a month for a drug that keeps cancer from worsening, doesn't cure it, keeps it from worsening for 3 months on average, and then carries 6 pages of warnings. So he is actually an administrator at the Johns Hopkins Hospital. And the cancer he has was developed because he had radiation 37 years ago. Touches your pocketbook. $13,000 a month for a drug that will keep the cancer from getting worse.
He has the money, he's going to go through it real fast. Is that right?
Oh, yeah.
Well, who has $13,000 laying in their bank account? You know,
well,
I mean,
Baron
there's no such
the
thing
story.
As extra. Yeah. And you talk about getting angry and upset. I mean, obviously, when it hits your loved ones, it's more personal. But I'll tell you what, I've heard many times, Amy, you're not tough enough. You're too nice to be a congresswoman, or you're too nice to go into Congress. and fight the fight. But I'll tell you what, this fires me up. And that's what the things I'm passionate about, the things about making a difference, protecting our seniors, fighting for our vets and our system that is broken. Those things fire me up. And I'll tell you what, it's not about being tough. It's about doing the right thing and being unafraid to be that voice. And I am, I'm 100% on board with being that voice.
And one of your friends got hit with a huge bill. I don't know, Amy knows this, but Doc Nelson that was here, he had a really, really weird cancer, very rare. I had to do some research to find out about it. $240,000 bill. He paid zero because the VA stepped in.
Sure.
But now all you're doing is just shuffling money around.
Yeah.
You know,
well,
somebody's still paying that.
Who paid the VA bill?
That's right.
Somebody's still paying that.
I have eight family members who served our country in one form or another. And I'll tell you what, I've been working very closely with my father who has been in the VA. He had a massive heart surgery. We've been fighting against the VA and trying to get the new programs and the service and the loops. And it's very, very difficult. So we need an advocate for everyone that medicine, it doesn't change because you're a VA or a retired vet. It all comes together to, you know, who's going to make those statements and push back. And we have to have someone protect not only our seniors on fixed income and our vets, the rest of us like you and I. I'm sorry if it hit me tomorrow, I couldn't afford it. And I would just, sure, you know, have a big old party and tell y'all goodbye because I just don't have it. And I don't think anybody does. And that's what's sad. We have to fight for our people.
Have you met your opponent?
Yes, several times.
What do you think of you? What do you think of him?
Oh, he likes me so much.
Yeah, I can tell. Yeah. You guys don't exchange Christmas cards or anything.
You know, I was an elected official with the city of Kaiser, and I was sat on many boards for Marion County and things like public safety, infrastructure, things like that. One of his go-tos is always, I'm bipartisan and, you know, we're going to find solutions, which I think is a great message. So when I reached out to him multiple times, over 10 times to try to meet with him, bipartisan, not about, you know, who we are letters behind our name. And he refused to take my calls and he refused to answer my emails and he refused to meet with me on issues locally. And at that time we had shipping issues, of course, and many federal issues for transportation. And the reality is that came down to one of those conversations, hold my beer. This is enough. And if we can't have representation who can work with the people, then we've got to have someone who can replace them and work and who will represent the people.
Will you be debating him at all?
I would love to debate him.
But
at this point, they were all canceled because of the pandemic.
Oh.
I know. I'm ready. This girl's got her. She's got her information ready.
When you read her statement in the voter's pamphlet, that's the closest she came to a debate.
Yeah. Well, and you know what? I love a debate and I'm ready and I would be happy to have one right now. I don't even need notice. I'm ready to go. But unfortunately, number one, he's not here. Number two, we could probably do one on Zoom. But so far, he's kind of in the basement with Biden somewhere. So I haven't seen him. He's not saying much. He's pretty quiet. He touts himself as a moderate. But I tell you, the information and the facts that I have can show you differently.
Does he think he's going to beat you?
He's very confident. I'll give him that. He's had name recognition, but I think I've worked very hard in the district and I don't think he has as much name recognition as he thinks he does. So we'll see.
I'm waiting. This is going to be fun.
You know, I'll be honest. I have respect for the position for whoever's in it. It's not about the letter, but I'll tell you what, that's our representative and whoever that person we need to support come November 5th, 4th. But I'll tell you what, I'm working hard to earn the vote and asking for the vote. I have a lot of faith that it's going to come down to counting votes. It's going to be very close, but I do feel confident that I will prevail.
So we only have about 2 minutes left in this segment here, but what's going on with this recall?
The recall failed, unfortunately. We were short of 3,000 votes.
That's it?
Excuse me, 3,000 signatures. We were that close. It was extremely close. And I know many, many people, including myself, we've given up a lot of time and our summer to work towards this fight. And the reality is we can't cry over spilt milk. We have to move forward and find a great candidate who's ready to be governor and take on the whole system and who will represent the people. That's what we need to do is focus on who that person's going to be.
How much longer does she have to go then?
Is she 2022. So okay. The next election, she's
next
out.
Election.
Mm-hmm. And she can't run again. So, you know, we just need to, they will put up a good, they have a lot of money. They'll put up a good candidate for that they choose. And we have to find a rock star Republican who, you remember, I say this often, there's no such thing as a perfect candidate. We have to find the person that represents our values and that we can get behind. And so that's what our next focus needs to be. But it needs to be on November 5th, right after we get through our election, because right now we need to focus and take all of that energy and that frustration and we need to put it into electing all of the candidates who are great candidates who are willing to fight.
Next month, when you win the election, do you have to move back to Washington or will you be able to stay here?
I will maintain my residence here And then we will have a second residence in D.C. because we'll be coming back and forth.
Now, you just recently were married, though.
I mean,
that's a fun way to spend your honeymoon. See you later, dear.
Well, we just celebrated our first anniversary here last week, and we're a team. We went in this together. He retired in order to be Team Amy. So, and I have a lot of, I really want to emphasize, I have amazing volunteers who help me, who are fighting the good fight, and that's what it takes. We've got great support.
When we come back, we're going to talk about this dunk tank mess that you got yourself into, Byron. What was that all about?
I get myself into lots of
I know you do. We need to take a quick break. Don't go anywhere. We're just getting warmed up. Today's show is being brought to you by the Lule Group, Lule's Car Connection, Don Lule Homes, and Teresa Lule, State Farm Insurance. Back in just a moment.
You're listening to The Terry Saul Show on KSLM AM and FM, brought to you today by the Lule Group.
Hey, this is Terry Saul, Saltissimo. You know, when it comes time to move into a new home, it's time to consider Don Lule Homes. The Lule difference is simply setting the bar for quality service in Salem. Find out today about custom-built new home. Don Lule Homes offers open floor plans, quality craftsmanship, and over 50 years of excellent experience in new construction. Beautiful homes are coming soon. Call today and ask for Erica at 503-428-6992. Don Lule Homes. Welcome back. This is our final few minutes. Our guest today is Amy Ryan Corsia and Baron, and we're talking about all kinds of different things here. On our last segment, we were talking a little bit about some of these outrageous prices that the pharmaceutical companies are charging. Why are the leaders not doing anything about this?
There's a gentleman that wrote a book about 100 years ago, and some of your listeners might remember a book called The Jungle. The author's name is Upton Sinclair. He was a journalist, and he exposed the problems with the meat packing industry. And he said, it is difficult to get a man to understand something when his salary depends on him not understanding it. So I think that all the stuff we're talking about, it's in black and white, it's graphs, it's charts. For them to understand it would affect their salary. If they're getting money as from lobbyists, if they have stocks, if they're a Pfizer trust fund kid, if you understand the problem, then your salary is going to be affected. You're going to lose money. So I don't think they want to understand it.
A few interviews back, you said at one point that you don't believe that they really want to find a cure for cancer, because a lot of people are going to be out of a lot of money if they do.
The last time we were together, Brenda called from Arizona. It was the way she said it. She said, if they make you well, then you don't keep coming to the hospital. And if you die, you don't keep coming to the hospital. So they keep you just well enough not to die. I mean, that sounds very callous, but that's kind of the reality is, if we can actually do what we're trying to do, reduce cancer significantly, there's a lot of money to be lost. If they're good business people, they'll find ways to shift it and talk more about health and all that kind of stuff. But they're making so darn much money fighting cancer, which they're not really doing, but I don't think they want to cure it.
This weekend, you're about to get into a dunk tank. What are you, crazy or something?
Well, you and I have debated the crazy part.
You're sad. No, you're just so sad.
I did manage that little ankle bracelet thing. I managed to get that thing chewed off my foot so they couldn't track me anymore.
You shouldn't wear that in the dunk tank. Won't you get zapped?
Yeah, probably.
All right, what is this dunk tank you're going to be doing, and where's it at?
Well, it's at Volcano Stadium.
It's taking place this weekend.
It is this weekend, yeah.
Okay.
Sunday and Monday, Labor Day weekend. The walkers, like in many businesses, have had to try to just figure out how to just create income to survive the pandemic. And so they're having a community market. Lots of really fun booths. We'll have a booth there, kicking cans with a booth. And then right next to me, John Abbott, who's a realtor here in town, he's sponsoring a dunk tank. He'll be on the dunk tank one day and I'll be on a different day. And so you're paying to take a shot at the ball to drop me in the dunk tank. And so we're going to kick cancer with a splash.
Now, you know that water's cold.
My plan is to buy some of those 10-pound bags of ice.
Yeah.
And then we'll kick cancer in the ice.
Stayed up all night thinking that one, didn't
I
you?
I did.
That you wrote that down. You've been waiting all show long to use that, haven't you?
45 minutes to use that one joke.
You're sad. Jeez. So this is all for what?
So all the money raised will go to the Kicking Cancer organization so we can keep doing what we're doing. Really, it boils down to two things. We're educating the public on how to take control of their own health. And we're also supporting local people like Rebecca, we talked about earlier. And I believe that if you look at any movement throughout history, It wasn't about the amount of money that came in. Money's important, but the movements occurred because people believed in the end result. Whether that end result was equality for blacks or whatever, there's lots of movements you can talk about. People believed in the end result, and I think people believe that we can actually eradicate cancer or significantly reduce it. But it does take money to keep that moving forward, so there's a fundraiser to keep doing that.
How did you manage to not get Amy in the dunk tank?
Did
he approach you on that one?
Oh, yeah.
I figured he would. Yeah, you know. So yes. She dodged the bullet there.
Well, I'm sure she's going to throw a ball or two at me, though.
Well, no, I go up down just to do that.
Well, yeah.
Now, there's also a workshop coming up.
There is. I'm excited about the workshop. It's on the 19th of September, and it's a Saturday. It's a free workshop. Our workshops are always
19th
free.
19th or the 18th?
It's a Saturday, 19th.
You got 18th written down here.
Well, excuse me.
Would you start looking at your notes before you come in here?
Yeah, write better notes. Okay. The 19th of September is a Saturday. It's at the Honky Tonk, and it's a very COVID-friendly place. So last time we did it, we had 35 people, and we still stay within COVID-compliant rules. And we will again this time. But for people who are familiar with a guy named Griff Lindell, he was the dean of business at Corbett University for a number of years, and he has since retired, but he's going to come in, and his topic is As a Man Thinketh. So if you're not happy with your actions, look at the words you're saying and the thoughts that created those words. So thoughts become words, words become actions. And I think that applies to lots and lots of things. Griff's wife has just battled through ovarian cancer. And I said, you teach this all the time. What was it like to live it? Like, you had to keep that positive attitude as your wife was battling. Right. And he did, and she's cancer-free now, which is awesome. But he's going to be our guest speaker.
And then you have a golf-a-thon?
Our annual fundraiser is called a golf-a-thon. So think of read-a-thon, walk-a-thon when you're a kid. On November the 1st, there's a group of us that are going to go up to Hillsboro and hit 100 golf balls at Top Golf. So I have pledged myself $2 a ball, and I'm just looking at people who want to join me in the fundraising or pledge me, you know, help me by pledging. Mm-hmm. And our goal for this fundraiser is $50,000.
Good for you.
Which will pay a very big chunk of next year's budget.
Good.
Or they can pledge me.
Yes. And I would encourage you to also pledge Amy.
Because I'm going to show you what real pledges look like. We've laid the gauntlet down. And I'm a golfer. So I'm in.
Well,
I think I've already raised almost 1,000. So.
I think you have. In fact, we announced.
You know she's going to dust you.
I know that's going to happen. And I told her, I said, you need to focus on the election. And whatever you raise is great.
Nice try. With our last 2.5 minutes, Amy, I'm going to throw it to you. Tell me your statement.
Sure.
Go ahead.
So thanks for the opportunity to share with all of you today. And again, pharmaceutical and finding the solutions is the priority. I appreciate all of the support and the people who would like to either volunteer or rally behind me. And I request prayers as well, because I think that is equally as important. But everything for me on social media, it can be found at amyfororegon.com. I do answer my own phone and my own emails, and I'm very transparent and have a complete open door policy. Because our district is quite large, I'm not always in the door there at the office, but I really try to make myself available. I encourage people not to reach out to me on Facebook messaging because I get overwhelmed with that and I don't see it as often. My phone number, 343-4740 is the campaign number, and we have an office on River Road, and I am doing my best to get in front of people. I am hosting tailgate meet and greets all over the district. And so if I say something that's important to you or that resonates with you, I would ask that you share that, because that's how we're sharing our message in this pandemic. And so I just appreciate the honor to be a part of the solution. So for pharmaceutical, we have a lot of work to do, and I'm ready to take it on, and I appreciate the support.
Are there polls in your particular campaign that you, how are you doing in the polls?
Well, my own polls are excellent, but let's be honest,
you know,
I'm kind of preaching to my own choir. So I think polls are expensive. Polls cost an average of about $30,000. So we're not spending the taxpayers' money on polls. We're spending it on signs. We're spending it on some marketing campaigns and really resonating the message and our law and order message and public safety and economic recovery. And people need to know who to vote for to represent them and who will be a strong representation with ethics and passion. And that would be me. So I appreciate the opportunity to ask for the vote, and I think that has to be earned. So
in November, are you going to be taking a big deep breath after the election, go, phew, We did it.
Yep.
We did it.
No matter what the outcome, we have done an great job.
Well, we know what the outcome is going to do. You're going to go in there and smoke them all.
I feel confident. I feel really good. And I'm so excited to celebrate with the team of people who have gotten behind me. There's so much work to be done. Honestly, everything's almost been in chapters. It's like we've done a great job. We finished the primary strong, well over 50% of the primary with four people. And then we went into this general election very strong, great momentum, positive energy. And that will be a whole new chapter of things to fight for. So we'll be sworn in January 3rd in D.C. And the fight is on. The plan is laid
out.
Good
for you. Well, I wish you the best of luck.
Thank you.
And afterwards, would you come back?
I would love to come back and give you an update maybe on how we're doing. And we have such a big district. So it's great to have the opportunity to share. Thank you.
A friend, always a pleasure having you.
Good to be here.
Please give Brenda my best and we'll chat with you next time.
Sounds good. Thanks, Terry.
We are just about out of time for today's show. Remember, you can catch our show every Saturday at 10 a.m. and a replay Sundays at 6 p.m. right here on Salem's original radio station, KSLM. A reminder, if you missed any of today's show or would like to hear any of my shows, you can always hear a podcast on our official KSLM website at www.kslm.news or on my official website at www.terrysaul.com. If you would like to drop me a note, I'd love to hear from you. My email address is terry@kslm.news. We'll see you next time. Take care and be safe.
You've been listening to The Terry Saul Show on Salem's original radio station, 104.3 FM and 1220 AM KSLM. Today's show is brought to you by the Lule Group, featuring Lule's Car Connection, Don Lule Homes, and Teresa Lule's State Farm Insurance. That's a wrap. Thanks, everybody. Good show.
Bye, everybody.